This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plan.
Many of the movies that have come out about the Vietnam War have had soundtracks that include songs you can hear on any classic rock station by Jimi Hendrix and The Doors. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward examines some of the lesser-known music of the period that actually commented on the war.
I hear people talking bad about the way they have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
The Vietnam War was a curious thing. It divided our country as no war since the Civil War had, and it did so at a time when popular music here was expressing ideas and concerns more overtly than it ever had. Yet there were very few songs that came out and talked about what was going on over in Southeast Asia that succeeded with the public. The great exception, of course, was Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler's famous Ballad of the Green Berets, which spent 3 months on the charts in 1966, much to the disgust of the many young people who were discovering another way of life and another way of looking at politics.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
There were plenty of protest songs, of course, but they were mostly examples of what one cowboy I know calls preaching to the choir, not really intended to change anybody's mind. Anyway, as Barry Sadler demonstrated, the best way to get onto the radio was to be pro-Vietnam. But as early as 1968, you could hear a bit of protest sneaking in on a weird reworking of Vaya Con Dios by Charlie and Inez Fox, who were best known for the 1963 hit Mockingbird. Check this out.
There's a thing that's going on today, and I'm quite sure you know what I'm talking about when I tell you it's the war in Vietnam. The fellas that are being sent over there are from the age of 16, 17, 18, and 19, and 20, 21 years of age. Mm-hmm. It's just like babies being snatched from their mother's arms. You give them a gun and tell them to shoot, and I mean kill.
Of course, Joe Tex countered this with a rewrite of a World War II favorite in which a soldier in Vietnam gets so inspired by a letter from his mother that he jumps up and shoots a half dozen of the enemy. In 1969, A&M Records decided they'd discovered a new dance sensation and put out a song called Wonderful World, Beautiful People, sung by Jimmy Cliff, to exploit it. The song did well enough that an album followed, and although this tune died as a single, Bob Dylan pronounced it the best protest song he'd ever heard. Naturally, if you've ever heard a song like this before, you know what happens. The friend is killed before his tour of duty is over, and his mother gets a telegram telling her of his death. It's simple, but that relentless rhythm gives it an urgency that makes it a classic. 2 years later, the war was more unpopular than ever, and although the record was banned on many radio stations, Freda Payne's best-selling Bring the Boys Home laid it out very clearly.
Yeah.
the Boys Home struck a responsive chord with black audiences, who put it into the Soul Top 10. But I knew the war was on its way out in 1972, when Grand Funk Railroad, a band that was despised by critics but loved by working-class rock and roll fans, put out a record called People, Let's Stop the War. Like everything else the band released around that time, the album it was on sold very well, even if the song wasn't put out as a single. I've always considered it rather silly that the various protest songs college students sang to each other have been given so much credit for reflecting the anti-war sentiments of the American people during Vietnam, when it was perfectly obvious that these songs I've just played, which are only a sampling of the ones released, never got the attention they deserved. Grand Funk Railroad's Mark Farner went on to become the only rock star to publicly support Richard Nixon in 1972, but if public sentiment told him that opposing the Vietnam War could make him money, then maybe Washington was listening, too.